Kerry.
Hi, Austin.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
It seemed like a little bit of a scramble at safety before the title game. We saw, Marcus was a game time decision. We didn't know about Ronnie until a little before kickoff. How much did that scramble the plans for you guys at safety? And I know there's a limit to what you'll say ahead of Friday, but how much closer to full strength do you think you guys will be there?
Yeah, well, it was a big scramble, and we had three healthy safeties, ready to play in the game. And so there was, that was significant. And the kids did a really nice job. That's the COVID environment, right? Of adapting and overcoming and accommodating. And we would certainly like to be much closer to full strength, on Friday.
Next question will come from Stephen Means with Cleveland.com.
Hey, Coach.
Hi, Stephen.
How you doing?
Great.
All right. When you look at Clemson and how they kind of use their wide receivers specifically, it mirrors a little bit to how you guys use Christian Garrett, where it's an outside guy and a slot guy who get the majority of the touches. When you guys do go good on good, how much does going against those two guys and the way they use them maybe prepare you for what you're going to see on Friday?
Oh, I think that's a great question. I think every day that we get to go good on good is a good day for us, because those are some of the best wide receivers in the country in our facility. And these guys that we're playing are just like them. And so the ability to compete against great skill day in and day out is critical when you're trying to get ready to play a team like this.
We'll now go to Tim May with Letterman Row.
Hi, Kerry. Merry Christmas again. As you look at Trevor Lawrence, what is the most outstanding thing he does? And I know that's like, out of 20, whatever, but what is the one thing that you think just sets him apart? Like Urban Meyer was telling me, the thing that's really interesting is he's a great runner, but he's really fast too. And you don't necessarily see both of those when you just watch it on video, but just what's your take?
Yeah, to Urban's point, he's deceptively fast. And you'll see when players have angles on him and he outruns the angle. I think that the thing that he does so many things very, very well. It's one of the – I would say it's arguably one of the great college football quarterbacks of all time based on his production and winning games. He is a play extender, and he does a great job of avoiding rush, sidestepping rush, getting outside the pocket, running the ball, or extending the play and throwing the ball. And he makes very, very, very few poor decisions. I think he does a great job with his pre-snap recognition. He's got a plan in mind when he catches the snap. But when the plan is altered, he does a great job of adapting to that.
Next will be Bill Landis with The Athletic.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Kerry. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Hey, so this matchup is becoming more and more common on the field, but off the field as well. You guys recruit against Clemson a lot, and I think that became a little more common maybe in the 2 years you weren't here, but certainly it's ramped up now. Just what's it like recruiting, I guess, similar guys as Clemson? And you have a guy in this class that you just signed, Jordan Hancock, who was committed there. What was it like recruiting Jordan when he was committed to another program?
Yeah, well, we had recruited Jordan very hard and had felt very good about him. And then he made the decision to commit to them. And I respected that. I respect that decision. But we had developed a pretty decent relationship. I think they're great recruiters. I think they do a phenomenal job when they have kids on their campus. That's always a battle. And you know that when kids are going there to visit. I do think we both identify the same players from the same parts of the country. And so you're going to battle when you go to recruit against the best teams in the country and they're good at what they do. It's going to be like that. And Jordan was a perfect example of that. And the kids got there are kids, the elite players have some really good choices and those kids and those schools they're all battling for those guys.
Next up is Bill Rabinowitz from Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Kerry. How are you?
Hi, Bill.
I want to ask you about Tommy Togiai and the impact that he's had on your defense. That position is kind of a thankless one, but it's so important. What kind of a jump has he taken, and how important has he been to the defense?
Well, you know, I wasn't here last year, so I can't tell you clearly to the jump. I can tell you that we have had players like that. You know, B.B. Landers was like that. He's such an active force in the interior of the defense. Now, there are two different players. B.B. was quick as a cat. Tommy strong as an ox. But the thing that Tommy does is he hustles so hard day in and day out at practice, in the games. He's relentless. And that's what I feel like he does in the middle of the defense. He's just a relentless force. And if you don't stay on him, he's going to find himself at the ball. And he's really, you know, between the interior defensive linemen have just really done a really, really good job this year.
We'll now go to Tony Gerdeman from Buckeye Scoop.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Tony?
Good. I want to ask you about the other guy on the interior. Have you ever seen anything like what Haskell Garrett has been through this year, and what's it been like for you to watch it as a coach?
Yeah, not in my experience. You know, I wish, and I'm glad, to be honest with you. I hope I never see it again. But for somebody to be where he was in August to where he is in December is a miracle. And I've said that before, and I believe it. And it just continues to be reproven every time he takes the field. He's very serious about what he does. I think he feels like, and he'd have to tell you, but I think he feels like he's got a new lease on life. I can tell you that my interactions with him became more positive, more upbeat, happier, more hugging, more of all those kind of things. And so for whatever it is that caused that or sparked that in him, I mean, he is playing really, really well, really hard, you know, and he was a good technician. And Larry does such a great job with those guys, but he's eating it up, you know, and he wants to be, he just wants to be great. And I just love being around him.
We'll now go to Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.
Hey coach.
Hi, Steve.
Congratulations on the success this season.
And
my question, I don't know how much you've gone back and watched the tape of this game. You weren't there obviously a year ago. But Ohio State did a great job of containing ATN, running the football, and a really good job with Lawrence and his wide receivers and tight ends. Where they beat Ohio State was the quarterback run and the screen game to ATN. Three touchdowns, long touchdowns out of those plays. I know it's all part of everything, and you can't stop everything, but how do you stop all four of those things in a game like this? And how aware do your guys have to be about all the different ways they can attack you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think anybody stops them. I think you want to try to slow them down. You want to try to contain them. You want to try to eliminate those big plays. They do it to everybody. Their explosive tape is the longest tape that you've ever seen. I think the running back is a fantastic player. In every phase of the game, he runs the ball inside. He runs the ball outside. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He catches the ball on the perimeter. You know, I think he's dynamic. Obviously, the quarterback run, which shows up at this time of year, is important to their success. And that's what winning teams do. You know, they have a formula. They've got talent across the board from the numbers to the numbers. And so if you went into a game and said, well, we're going to take this one thing away, they have plenty to beat you somewhere else. And so you have to prepare for all of it, and you have to play. You have to play a great game for four quarters in order to have a chance at the end.
Next up will be Jacob Beng from Buckeye Grove.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hi, Jacob. Great, thanks.
Great. Going back to the interior on the defensive line, have you seen an extra pep in the step of Jonathan Cooper now that he finally gets to play Clemson?
I think I can tell you this, and the remarkable thing is to just watch how these kids have managed and handled everything, but Coop is a flat out leader. You know, and I was talking to him. We had kind of a walkthrough practice the day after Christmas, and Coop says, Coach, we need to wear cleats. He was right. And we did. And you just love that kind of leadership. He's all in. He's pushed his chips into the middle of the pile for this game, and I think we'll see Coop's best effort.
Next, we'll go to Zachary Brazelier from New York Post.
Coach, what with Sean? He, you know, we all know Sean was can only play a half last year. I know you weren't, you know, there last year, but could you just sense how motivated he is for this game?
Well, I mean, in many ways, I think the way that game finished, or a big part of the way, the reason that Sean came back, and Sean's passionate about winning, and he felt, I'm not going to say he felt responsible, but he felt, you know, shortchanged or whatever. I don't know what the right word is, Zachary, to be honest with you, but, and he's been motivated all year, and he's a great leader, but he's, you know, this game obviously means a lot to him. He's got, you know, he's prepared extremely well. He wants to go out and have a good performance. He wants to help us. He wants to help his team win. And that's the main thing. But there's no question that coming off the field at halftime or before the halftime last year, it was very, very hard for him.
Next, we'll go to Nathan Baird with Cleveland.com.
Hey, Kerry. How you doing? You and other people have been talking about Etienne's versatility. When we talk to Clemson, they talk about your linebacker's versatility. I'm just curious, when you guys moved those guys to the positions that they're in this year, was it a matchup like this that was kind of in mind? And how does this alignment of linebackers and the versatility that you guys have maybe help you match up against Etienne?
Well, I think when you're going to play teams like this, and it's a great question, I think when you're going to play teams like this, you got to have speed on the field, and you got to figure out a way to get fast guys out there playing in the right areas. And for us, you know, moving Pete, getting Barron on the field in a different capacity, having a kid like Justin Hilliard who can play all the spots, and then that anchor in the middle, Tough Borland. I mean, I just think that versatility gives us it certainly gave us a great chance when guys were out because of COVID, but it gives us flexibility. And I agree with you that when you're going to play teams like this, you're going to need those kind of flexible players that can move around and do different things during the course of the game to help you try to win.
And one last question, Coach, on Brendan Gulick from Buckeyes Now.
Hey, Kerry.
Hi, Brendan.
Hey, Haskell made a comment to us that he has spent a lot of time this year on trying to learn more than just his job. He wants to know the coverages. He wants to know where certain guys are. He said it's helped him play more freely. That's a really mature thing to commit yourself to doing. How many other guys on your defense do you feel have made the decision to try and learn more than just their position, and has that made you better as a unit?
I think that some of them chose to do that, guys like Haskell, Pete, got, you know, certain players, and then some of them have had to do it just because all of a sudden you show up at practice and there's four guys that aren't going to be able to be there. So now you got to go play this spot and you got to know it. And the young guys have really learned that, not necessarily because they want to, but because they have to. But I think the maturity of these kids that are looking forward to extending their career down the road. I remember having a conversation with Haskell about 3-deep coverage versus 2-deep coverage, and why do you play this one and why do you do that one? And he was really interested and how that might affect him on the defensive line. And I think you're right. It's a very mature way of looking at things. And I think the more guys on your defense that you have thinking along those lines, the better chance you have to have success.
Thank you very much for your time today, Coach. I know it's a really busy time for you, so good luck with the rest of your preparation.
Right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. We'll see you at the game.